Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not.
Richard Moody reported in the Daily Mail that the $1 million cuts to education and key programs proposed by the Trump administration are worrying local school officials. The president's current budget proposal would slash federal support to education by $9.2 billion. But representatives in Washington, including U.S. Representative John Faso, say the plan will not pass as is. Faso said, and I quote, "Historically, the president proposes cuts to domestic spending, but what Trump proposes goes beyond what is wise. Most of what the president proposes to cut will not pass," end quote. He said the reduction in funding for Title I is unlikely to go through. Title I of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act provides financial assistance to districts and schools with high percentages of children from low-income families. The program is intended to help ensure that all children meet challenging state academic standards. Districts throughout Greene and Columbia counties greatly rely on Title I funding. Faso said, and I quote, "I like that Trump wants to balance the budget in 10 years. That is fiscally responsible, but he is focusing his cuts on only 17% of the budget, and that's really what the issue is," end quote. And finally, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, released a statement after four people were shot June 14th during baseball practice for an annual charity game in Alexandria, Virginia. The statement read, and I quote, "Mary Fran and I are praying for the victims of today's shooting, including Majority Whip Steve Scalise, congressional staff, and the brave men and women of the Capitol Police. Thank you to our law enforcement and first responders who rushed to save lives," end quote. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand also released a statement, and I quote, "I'm praying for the recovery of Representative Steve Scalise, the staff, and the Capitol Police who were wounded at the horrific scene this morning. God bless the police and first responders for their bravery and for taking quick action to ensure that this tragedy wasn't worse. Our first responders put their lives on the line for us every day. They are true heroes. And in this moment of darkness, they once again displayed what is best about our country. I hope the outcome of this tragedy will be unity, where we put our partisan differences aside and recognize that we are all here for a common purpose," end quote. Sharon LaFreniere reports in the New York Times that almost 200 Democratic members of Congress filed a federal lawsuit on June the 14th, accusing President Donald Trump of violating the Constitution by making money using his presidential status to make more money on deals with foreign governments. New York senators split on the matter. Kirsten Gillibrand signed on and Chuck Schumer did not. The lawsuit says the president illegally profits by collecting payments from diplomats staying in his hotels and by accepting trademark approvals from governments for his company's goods and services. There are two other similar lawsuits already in federal courts against the president. Local Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, did not sign on to the lawsuit. You can read the full story in the New York Times. James Nanny is reporting at The Fray that there may be 16 months before the 19th district congressional elections, but already there are seven candidates and one endorsement. The Vote Vets PAC, a Washington, D.C.-based political action committee, endorsed Democrat Patrick Ryan to take on Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook. Nanny scanned federal election records and reports, and I quote, "Vote Vets spent $11.4 million in the 2016 election cycle. According to OpenSecrets.org, about $9.9 million of that was spent on media buys, generally supporting Democratic or opposing Republican candidates. One of its biggest donors last cycle was Majority Forward, a nonprofit that a political story characterized as a nonprofit affiliated with Democrats' biggest Senate super PAC," end quote. Rick Hegdown, Veterans Outreach Coordinator for Vote Vets, said of Ryan, and I quote, "It's important that people in the district know that Pat has never forgotten where they came from. After serving in Iraq, he went right to work trying to better protect the men and women still in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now he's back in his Hudson Valley home serving his community. That says a lot about the extraordinary servant that Pat is and that he will be as a congressman." Actually, Ryan currently lives in Brooklyn, but says he's searching for a home in Gardiner, Accord, or Kingston, where he graduated high school. You can read that full story at The Fray.
And the 538.com website says Representative John Faso, Republican of Kinderhook, votes with the president's positions 91.2% of the time. But Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that now Faso and Donald Trump are at odds over the health care plan currently being secretly negotiated in a U.S. Senate chamber behind closed doors. Faso, so far, voted for a version of the bill and even offered up his own amendment to the proposed new health care law. Faso has publicly stated that he believes the new health care plan, quote, lowers premiums, reduces taxes, and puts patients in charge of their own health care decisions instead of Washington, end quote. The president, who championed the bill when it passed the U.S. House, then said June 13th that the bill was, quote, mean, end quote, during a meeting with Senate GOP leaders. Faso declined to be interviewed on the matter, but issued a statement saying, quote, I have no comment as the remark is reported anonymously, and I have no basis to know whether it was said at all, end quote. The Associated Press reported the president's remarks, which were independently confirmed by Fox News, The New York Times, CNN, ABC, and The Hill. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
In a May 10th letter to the editor in the Daily Mail, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, wrote, and I quote, paid phone advocates have generated calls into our offices from both inside and outside the congressional district, end quote. Former District 19 Congressperson John Hall, talking with WGXE, said June 14th that paid protesters are not calling the congressperson.
Our local Representative John Faso has claimed recently that there are paid protesters calling him. His office. Did you have paid protesters calling your office?
I don't believe that.
You don't
First
believe
of all,
it now.
I don't think he's telling the truth, or he knows the truth, one or the other. But
he is getting.
I know
of
there
calls.
Are paid trolls online.
Online, yes.
And I know there are
some of them from Russia.
Some of them from Russia, and some of them
from here,
know, from different interest groups or political parties here. When I was in office, we had. Repeat callers or repeat emailers. And we also had organized petitions.
Yeah, the 2010 election year must have been very similar to what John Faso is going through now.
Not
right?
really.
The Tea Party wasn't up at your town halls?
The main similarity is that my 2010 election was the first one after the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which allowed millionaires, corporations, so-called super PACs or public interest groups that are not really nonprofit, you know, that they are allowed to spend money on elections, even foreign-owned corporations, to spend unlimited millions of dollars in our elections. And I can't believe that that's what the founding, you know, fathers or even a reasonable person today would think is, you know, the idea of a democracy or one person, one vote, you know, that, you know, if you have, when the Fairness Doctrine went out, I think it was during the Reagan years, you know, that was something I'm sure you're aware of as a broadcaster that, that required equal time to be given, to somebody with the opposite point of view. If somebody was advertising or going on, free on the radio or TV and espousing a particular point of view, that the broadcast has had to provide time for somebody else to present the opposite point of view. Well, not only is that no longer the case, but now anybody who has the millions of dollars to do it can spend money on advertising for or against any candidate without disclosing where the money came from or who they spent on it until after the fact. And that can be a corporation that's majority owned by people from overseas. So you can have a Russian-owned corporation or a Saudi-owned corporation or a Chinese-owned corporation spending unlimited money to affect our elections. That started happening in my last election, 2010. That was the first election. It happened to be Tea Party also. But I think that Citizens United had more of an effect on it than the Tea Party did.
And there's no way to get rid of Citizens United unless Congress
yeah,
passes?
Yeah, there's one way. Congress has to pass a law that challenges, that will go up through the court, it'll be challenged in court, and it'll rise, you know, to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has to be balanced in such a way that it would seriously consider overturning its own decision, Citizens United, which is not probably not going to happen with this 5-4 split that you have in the court.
So you're talking today. 10 to 20 years before it's even possible to overturn it.
Because unfortunately,
the Congress would have to line up in just the right way, and the court would have to line up in just the right way.
Right. It's very difficult to see.
You went through the Tea Party rallies and such in 2010, you still had town hall meetings.
Right.
Our current representative, John Faso, won't have a town hall meeting. And I guess he's saying it's because all the protesters will be so mean to him. What would your advice
My advice to him would be to allow access to him from his constituents. I did that in the five counties I represented when it was the 19th. Then the 19th included southern half of Dutchess County, almost all of Orange County, all of Putnam County, northern half of Westchester, and a little bit of northern Rockland counties in the Hudson Valley. So it was, at that time, this was the 20th up here, which my former classmate, Kirsten Gillibrand, now Senator Gillibrand, represented in the House of Representatives, and then Scott Murphy for a term after that, when she was appointed to the empty Senate seat that Secretary of State Clinton had held before she was appointed to be Secretary of State. I think it's important. Look, we had protesters at our rallies. We had threatening phone calls to my home. My wife, when I was in D.C., got threatening phone calls at home. I had staffers with me, and I had town police or state police that were available if I wanted them, if I needed them. Sometimes they would. When I was holding town hall meetings about the Affordable Care Act and taking questions, honestly, answering the best I could questions from the pro and con sides on that issue, you know, and that vote, I didn't back down. You know, I stood out there and I remember in the town of Warwick and the town of Goshen and the town of Beacon, various places where I had partially hostile crowds at my town hall meetings and candidates that were going to run against me, who had said they were going to run against me, coming in trying to take over the meetings, you know, and without my even asking, town police showed up. And so if I had needed them, which I didn't, I could have asked them to control the crowd, you know, but, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, what about the Capitol Police who took bullets yesterday to protect the Republican baseball players and that, you know, that congressional baseball team? You know, don't ask them to protect you and not be willing to go out in public as congressman or congresswoman member, congress member, to be politically correct. And don't ask, you know, these people. I mean, when I was leaving Congress, there were these guys that I saw every day that I walked past going from the Longworth building where my office was across to the Capitol to vote. And I held my hand out and said, I want to thank you for protecting us. And they said, Congressman, you're very welcome, but we can't shake your hand. And I said, you're kidding. And they said, we're not allowed to touch anybody's hand because it could be the beginning of a martial arts move, including tourists, protesters, congressmen, staffers. They're not allowed to shake hands. And the reason was that several years before that, before I was in Congress, a crazed guy with a gun came in, shot his way through the checkpoints, and got inside the Capitol before he was shot by several. There were two Capitol policemen killed. And while I was there, they had a memorial for them in the Capitol Rotunda. And I got to appreciate what these guys and gals do, who are there, you know, to protect us public servants. And that's what it is, whether you received a salary for it or not, or whether, you know, people think you're there for the right reason. I, you know, was a citizen. I like to think of myself as a citizen congressman. I didn't go into it to have a career. I went into it because I thought some things needed to change, and I served two terms. And then the electorate decided, my constituents decided, they wanted somebody else. And they elected a Republican in that district for one term. And then they elected Sean Patrick Maloney, who's still there now in his third term.
We think of him as our representative somewhat, too. He's held the town hall in this district.
I was aware of that. You know. But I think that, you know, John Faso's a big boy. You know, I mean, he was minority leader in the assembly, as I recall, here in New York State. And he knows what it's like to be in the majority and in the minority. And he's been a lobbyist, so he certainly is familiar with what members of different elected bodies go through. I think there's ways for him to do it if he wanted to do it.
What about if Democrats now want Faso to vote against the new Republican health? He already voted for it, but if he
has one more vote to take on,
so he's going to take another vote. So what advice would you give is it emailing him, faxing him, calling him, showing up, protesting outside? What's the most effective way?
I think a handwritten note or a personal phone call. Which will be taken by a staff member, but they do keep score about how many people are calling on either side, would be probably the most effective thing. The least effective thing would be one of these online petitions where you sign up with however many other people and it gets handed in by a third party. Members of Congress, at least when I was there, tend to discount those because it's the least effort. You know, in other words, the person who is least invested and cares the least about it, that's the easiest thing for them to do. Whereas time out of your day to make a phone call or to sit down and write an actual letter and send it to their office, you know, that's sort of more of a commitment of time, shows, you know, more involvement with the issue.
Some of the people have been calling Faso's office so much they're getting tired, or they feel like the staff is just hearing the same thing over and over again, so they're dismissing it. Is it
get your mother to call, or your brother or sister, or your friend to call? I mean, of course, the same person. If I were to call, I called John Faso's office about the health care bill. I actually called about the main reason I called was to ask him. As a question I asked Hillary Clinton when she was thinking, you know, the first time around about running when she ran the primary against Barack Obama and lost, I said to her, because I know her, and I know Bernie Sanders, I worked with both of them. I, you know, when I was in D.C. and, you know, in Congress, I met a lot of people that I never thought I would meet, and I got to see things and go places I never thought I would go. But I said to Hillary, you know, I hope if you become president, you will still work for and believe in the balance of powers, equal, balance, co-equal branches of government. Can you look me in the eye and tell me you'll do that? And she did. She looked me in the eye and said, yes, I will. We never got to find out what she would have done. But there's been a transfer of power going back to the Korean War, which was not a declared war. It was a permission slip, you know. And then the War Powers Act after that, you know, covered every war. And there's quite a few that we've been involved in, including this ongoing war against, you know, the radical, you know, terrorists, the Taliban or ISIS or what have you.
And, okay, whatever.
Yeah, in Iraq and in Syria and in Afghanistan for 15 years now. And
the
never even
war.
A vote on a declaration of war. And that is, it's Congress ceding its constitutional power to the executive branch. And I think it's wrong. And I thought, and I said back then when I was in Congress, when I ran for Congress, I said that I would demand a vote on any entry into any new war. And I think that's what, I mean, I called John Faso's office. I had to pick one issue to talk about because I don't know how many times I didn't talk to him personally. I've never met John Faso, and you know, I respect him for serving because I know it's hard. It's a real job, and regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, if you do it conscientiously, it's a 13-hour day, 7-a-day-a-week job. Some people block out, you know, Sunday or Saturday if they're Jewish, you know, like Chuck Schumer does, but still, it's a real serious, hard job. So I called his office and I spoke to whatever staffer I got, forget his name. And I said, this is former Congressman John Hall, who represented the old 19th. And I just want to leave a message, please, you know, for Congressman Faso. And he said, sure, absolutely. I'll take down a message for him. And I said, I want to ask him to please not cede any more congressional authority to the executive branch, and to vote and to advocate for constitutional balance of powers as it's described in the Constitution, you know, not as it's become over the last 50 years, and especially in the last, I'd say, you know, well, really since 9/11, it's become, you know, the unitary presidency executive, as they, you know, it's been talked about, and I think it's bad for the country, and I think it's very tempting for any president, especially somebody who's used to being a chief executive of a private corporation or a bunch of corporations, to think that he can just run things. And I think for, you know, President George W. Bush, who was, you know, owner of the Texas Rangers, among other things, before he was elected president, and governor of Texas, you know, but, you know, I think it must be very tempting to think that you can accrue more power to the executive branch. And it's not a good idea for any of us, including the president, for that to happen. Anyway, that's my version of my message that I left for John Faso.
All right. Well, John Hall, thank you so much for talking to us today. And
we'll talk more about music sometime.
And we'll hear some of your music Friday night at Triforum in Hudson.
Right. Me and hopefully Laurel Massé, and I'm definitely the bell choir, and I'll be there with bells on.
All right. Thank you so much for talking to us today.